The Lord told Moses to tell them, tell them I am that I am sent you. He's the first, the last, everything in between. He was before the world even began, and he always will be. Can't wrap your mind around that, but we don't have to. He's just always been, and he always will be. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children's church from age 5 to 11. We're going to be announcing in the next several weeks the date of our next mission trip. It'll be sometime in mid-summer or at the end of the summer for Harvest Time Church. And we'll give you the exact dates. Some of you have seen the pictures and you've changed your mind about going. You said, well, I think I'll change my mind about this. I'm going to go. We will take care of you if you go. And I've had many tell me they're going to get their passports. Those of you that still don't want to go, that's wonderful. You just keep praying for our mission work. And some of you give. We thank you for that. It takes finances to do missions and to do ministry. We're just so pleased what the Lord's doing in the hearts and lives of everyone that is so involved in foreign missions. But we're going to begin really focusing on our community right here in Flint, Texas. And I believe God's going to bring them in. Amen. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go on the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Amen. That's what we've got to do. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 12 and verse number 1. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. They were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to once again come into the holy place, the sanctuary. Lord, we just ask you that you would speak to us. Let the word of God, Lord, prick and penetrate our hearts. Let it change us. This is a living word. Lord, we just ask you to have your perfect way in our hearts and lives. You know every place where every individual is today. I pray that you'd speak to us, help us, equip us to finish the course that's before us. And we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Reading verse number 12 again. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. I'm going to preach to you this morning on ambidextrous Christians. The word ambidextrous is a unique term that describes an individual who can use both the left hand and the right hand. I don't really compute with that because I'm a right-handed man deluxe. You know, this left hand, he just works in a supporting role, amen? But, you know, there are those people out there. They're very rare. It's a trait that is very unique to be ambidextrous. You know, I'm sure you've run across those individuals who can pick up a pen and they can write their name with their left hand and they can write their name with their right hand. They can throw a ball with their right hand and they can throw a ball with their left hand. I can throw a ball with my right hand, but I look like a little girl throwing it with my left hand. But there are those out there that have this unique gift and skill. They can work with both. They can shoot a gun with the right and they can switch and shoot a gun with the left hand. Listen to me, it's a very unique skill set, and I can assure you very few people out there have this very unique skill set. Listen, we look at this, and we know that switch hitters in the Major League Baseball, it's very common to be a switch hitter, to be able to bat right-handed and left-handed. But they say there's only one Major League Baseball player who can throw right-handed and left-handed. What am I trying to say? I'm saying it is hard. It is very difficult. It is not something that just anybody can do. And listen, it speaks of a balance. Somebody who can work with their strong hand, but they have cultivated the weak area of their life, and they have learned to work with their left hand. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us have strengths, and we all have weaknesses. But I believe the help of the Holy Ghost, He's going to talk to us today, and He's going to speak to us about those areas in our life that we need to work on. Make no mistake about it today, we are in a warfare. There is a battle going on in the Ukraine, Russia against Ukraine, but I want to tell you there's a greater battle in the realm of the Spirit taking place. It's a battle for the souls of mankind and the church of a living God. We better get back to the altar, get a hold of the horns of the altar again and begin to seek the face of God. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We must put on the whole armor of God. We are in a battle today. Listen, we must learn to strengthen the weak areas of our life. As we look and analyze the text in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it is mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling because the Bible says that there was a certain tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. They were unique people. They were unique warriors because they could shoot a bow with the right hand. Now listen, I said something about a gun just a moment ago. That's one thing to be able to shoot a gun with your right hand and then turn and go to the left. But these warriors could shoot a bow with their right hand and they could shoot a bow with their left. That is a high skill set. And they could also use a sling. And they could sling that shot. And I read an article that said that the stone was a certain size, and they were so skilled, and they could swing it so fast. It had the penetration or the kinetic energy of a .45 caliber pistol. These men were very skilled, and they could do it with their right hand and with their left hand. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 12 and 2, they were armed with bows and can use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. I want you to think about it. It would take a man to really appreciate when it comes to a slingshot and a bow. But you ladies get the drift here because I don't know if there's anybody in this house that's ambidextrous. Listen, they were very skilled. You have to understand what it's trying to say. They were skilled warriors. And I can tell you, if I was on the opposite side of that battle and I knew my enemy was ambidextrous, it would make me a little bit nervous. Listen, they would have an advantage in warfare. They would be effective in different positions. Listen, if you're going hand-to-hand combat and somebody can use a sword as good in the left hand as they can in the right hand, I'm telling you, you got some problems on your hand. And I believe that the church of the living God, if we'll strengthen our weak areas, the devil's going to have some problems on his hand. Listen, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord God Almighty. Oh, listen, the enemy likes to move in the weak areas of our life. We're strong in many areas. We overcome in many areas. Where does the devil attack us? He attacks us in our weak areas. Oh, but if you and I, once again, can allow the Holy Ghost to deal with us, not just with the sin area, but the areas of our life that we can become more effective in. Are you hearing me today? Can you hear me today? Listen, ambidextrous. Listen, don't make the assumption that this was something that they were born with. Don't make the assumption that they were born with the ability to use their left and their right hand. Why do I say this? Because only 1% of the population today is ambidextrous. 1%. So what does this mean? It means that Being ambidextrous was a learned trait. It was something that had to be cultivated. It had to be worked on. It was a skill set. There was something that was exercised. There was hours and hours put into it. There was a lot of hard work. Amen. There was a lot of skill put into that thing. It was learned. And these were highly skilled warriors that spent a lot of time training. I don't even think our Navy SEALs are ambidextrous. The highest level of military in the United States Armed Forces, listen, they don't have that type of skill set. This was something that they cultivated. Oh, think about being able to use your left hand. If you're a left-hander in this house, just flip the roles today and consider your right hand, that left hand that I'm going to be preaching about. But just think about being able to use them the same way. Listen, if I was a kid and I didn't want to sit on the wrong side of mama, she was going to pop me during church. Well, it didn't matter what side she sat on, she could get me the same way if she was ambidextrous. So the question needs to be asked, how did they develop, how did the Benjamites develop such a skill, and more importantly, why did they develop this skill? Remember, I don't believe that it was a born trait, because the Bible says they could use the left hand and the right hand. How did they do it? There's only one way to become an expert archer, and that's a lot of practice. You know, in this kingdom of God, especially Pentecostals, we think that if we have the Holy Ghost, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to study. We don't have to have a spirit of excellence. Listen to me. God is a God of structure. He's a God of order. And I believe what Paul told Timothy, we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, I believe that God can work miracles any way He wants to work, but He's not automatically going to make me a marksman overnight. No, it is something I've got to practice on. It is something I've got to work on. There are things that God wants us to do. Oh, it is not by might nor by power, but I can tell you it is whenever we give all that we can for the kingdom of God that He empowers that thing. He enforces our decisions. Are you with me today? If we can begin to cultivate the things and the gifts God's given us, we're going to see God work mightily through our lives. They became expert archers by a lot of practice. You ever heard of the 10,000 rule? I don't know how accurate this is, but they say it takes 10,000 hours to work on a certain thing in order to be an expert. I don't know if it takes that many hours or if it takes more hours. People falsely assume that it takes only 10,000 hours to achieve expertise in anything. But hear me. There's a catch to even 10,000 hours. There's a catch. And what is that catch? If you practice the right thing the wrong way, it is counterproductive. Listen to me, if you don't shoot the basketball with the right form, you can do it 10,000 times and you might end up making better baskets, but it's not going to be the right way. And it is the same way in the kingdom of God. We've got to do things according to the pattern. Amen? What is the pattern? It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the epistles. It's all throughout the Word of God. He has a pattern for us. Listen, doing something repeatedly won't give you results that you're looking for. This can be called bad practice or half-hearted effort or half-minded focus. You develop bad habits while trying to build good practices. The key is deliberate practice. And I want to give you a quick threefold dimensional area or idea of what you must do in order to get things right. First of all, you have to have some defined goals. Listen, you just can't go through life que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. You got to have some goals in life. You've got to have a vision. Listen, without a vision, the people perish. Listen, I don't want to just have a vision of something that I can do in my own ability with my own human ingenuity. What do I want to do? I want to get the mind of God. I want to move into a realm that if He doesn't intervene, if God doesn't move in and get involved in that vision, or if He doesn't give it and He doesn't empower me, it's not going to get done. What we got to do is we got to stop thinking in this small area of our life. lives. Listen, we serve a great big God who holds the universe in his hand. He spoke everything into existence. He is God and there is no other. The second dimension is reverse engineering. What does that mean? Whenever you look at something, somebody that does something very well, you study best practices of others, then you adopt them, and in adopting them, you do it to your unique situation, trying to figure out the tricks of the trade. Listen, I'm a river of many tributaries. I learn from a lot of people. And I still learn. I am a student of every area of life. I'm going to tell you, I've told the story to the ones that were on the trip. In Central America, whenever you get out of the car, if your car's running, it's going to lock itself automatically. I locked the car up 2 different times. Brother Darren just did it once. I was at the facility, and I was going to get the AC running for the ladies, and I shut the door and it automatically locks, we have to go get our COVID test. We're going to do some work, and we called a fine young man from El Salvador, and he's telling me, you know, I can get in it, but it's going to bend the metal. And I'm on the passenger side. Jose's interpreting for me, and I'm talking to this brother, and all of a sudden, we're talking, and he says, well, I can do it like this, but then this is going to take place, and then this is going to take place, and I'm wanting to look at him. He's a great brother, and I want to say, hey man, just give me a solution to the problem. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to him. I'm getting a little bit frustrated. I didn't get in the flesh, but inside I'm going, come on, man, help me out here. Do I call a professional? Can you do it? And all of a sudden, the door pops open, and Brother Scott Williams is over there, and he just popped it open. I said, man, how'd you do that? He said, oh, my dad had a car. I said, I want you to teach me that. Come on, what am I trying to say? I'm saying that we become rivers of many tributaries. I'm talking to you about reverse engineering. I'm going to look at the way somebody does it, I'm going to get it for myself and make it a part of my repertoire. Amen. Listen, the third dimension is effort. I'm talking to you about becoming skilled, growing, developing that weak area of your life. The third dimension is effort. We got to put some good old-fashioned elbow grease into our lives. So many people want what everybody else has, but they don't want to work for it. Let me tell you something. Hard work never hurt anybody. And you're not going to get anything for free. And it's not going to just be all of a sudden given by God. No, he gave you a strong body. Or if you don't have a strong body, he gave you a mind. Come on, church. I'm telling you, deliberate practice requires near maximal effort, which is neither fun nor easy. When you're training your body, for example, you have to stress that body beyond the ability to maintain homeostasis. For the record, this is good stress. It's resistance. Amen? Anything less, hear me, than 70% of straining that body, it maintains what you already have. If you just go 70% or less, you maintain. You got to go beyond the 70% in the physical. That goes with exercise. But I can tell you it goes the same way in your mind, in your spirit, or in your body. We've got to be stretched out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we got to do things that are uncomfortable. You may say, well, I can't do that. That's not my gift. You know what I say about that? It's an old Greek word we learned in East Texas, and I call it hog wash. Amen? Listen to me. I can't win out the door or the window on the day of Pentecost, for I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Listen to me today. God will empower you to do what you cannot do. The technical term is just manageable difficulty. It can't be so easy that you become bored or so difficult that you quit. Something that comes against you. Listen, the reason why today I'm worried about the young men and women of this younger generation coming up. I mean, all you got to do is just stay at the house and collect a check. Our future's in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, without work, without trials and tribulations, listen, I'm talking about resistance in every area of life. You know, when my children were little, you know, as a dad, I automatically want to run to their defense whenever I feel like they're being done wrong, or when they feel like they're being done wrong. The Holy Ghost spoke to me a long time ago, and he said, you let me deal with them kids. You support them. You strengthen them. But without resistance, we become weak, flabby Christians. Listen, we need some trials in our life. We need some hard times. But because we go through the trials and the fire, God's going to put something within us. Listen, if you don't go through the trial and get through it right now, whenever the hardest time comes, you're going to crumble and you're going to give up, give in, and throw in the towel. I have no idea what the Benjamite CrossFit workout would look like. But they got lots of blisters from drawing back their bows. It took many years of deliberate practice for them to aim equally well with both eyes and both hands. I want you to think about that today. They were ambidextrous. Brother Matt, what does this have to do with me? What's the application where we are today? I'm talking to you today about ambidextrous Christians. I'm talking to you about areas. Listen, we all love to work with our strong arm in that strong area, and we want to focus in on that. But listen to me. God wants us to focus in on the weak areas where the devil's been attacking us. Oh, listen to me. You and I are soldiers of the Lord, and Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Listen, the people of the Ukraine right now, I love that fighting spirit. I love that little short president in the Ukraine. Man, I want to tell you something. He says, listen, we ain't giving in. We're not gonna back down. I don't know all the details. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I just like the fact that they didn't give up, give in, or throw in the towel. I love it when Christians make up their mind. Devil, you better bring your sack lunch, because you knock me down, I'm going to get back up again. I'm not giving up. I've done seen the lights of the city. I'm too close to the rapture of the church. Somebody needs to hear me today. What's the application? God wants to use all of us, but if you don't strengthen that weak area in your life, the enemy's going to come and he's going to zero in on that weak area, and you will become powerless to help other people. Listen to me today. God wants to use you at the point of your greatest gifts. That's a given. God wants to use all of us at the point of our greatest gifts. He's the one that gave us the gifts in the first place. But God also wants to use you and I at the point of our greatest weakness. Why is this? Because that is where His power is made perfect. Do you hear me? I said, yes, He does want to use you at the point of your greatest weakness or strength, but He also wants to use you at the point of your greatest weakness, is because that is where His strength is made perfect. Listen, at the point of your left hand, if you're a left-handed person, just flip the roles. At the point of your weakest hand, hear me today, that is where we present double trouble for the enemy. You just thought that you were going to attack, and you thought you were going to be more effective with your strong hand. I can tell you today, if you will cultivate, if you allow the Holy Ghost to work on you and do the work in you, you will be more trouble to the enemy with your weak hand than you are with your strong. What weakness do we need to work on? Everybody has a different weakness. My right hand, I have an idea what my strengths are, and I certainly know what some of my weaknesses are. My wife can probably point out more of the weaknesses than I can see myself. That's just how we are. You know, we can't see as many things as our close family members can see. What weaknesses do you need to work on? What skill set do you need to cultivate? I'm going to give you an example. Let's just say my right hand right here. Let me show you some of the strengths that I have in my right hand. I'm bold. Oh, I've always been bold for Jesus. Now, I'm not going to just say this is mine, but let's just say you're bold. You'll just tell people how it is, and you're not afraid of standing up for right. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We need to stand up for right. On that right hand, you're also doctrinally sound. You read the Word of God. You rightly divide the Word of truth. You don't back down from the Word of God. You know whenever false doctrine is coming in. This is your right hand I'm preaching to you just for a moment. This is the strong area. You know how to pray. You know how to get a hold of God. You've been taught how to pray. Maybe you came up under a great pastor or a mom and dad or a grandparent that really sought the face of God, and they instilled that in you as a little child. I want to tell you, that's a wonderful gift to have. That's a wonderful thing. And listen, if you can pray ultimately, listen, just because you're a prayer warrior doesn't mean you don't have a weak left hand. Maybe with that right hand, you're the kind of person that takes the initiative. You're always moving. You're not waiting, but you're always moving in the area you know you're supposed to work in. And listen, I love it when workers just take the initiative. You know, employees, they have to be able to follow instruction, but that's the lowest level. The next level up is somebody who takes initiative, who don't have to be told what to do. And you're one of those people in the kingdom of God. That's some awesome strengths. But what about that left hand? You got all of these strengths, but maybe on the left hand you do not take correction well. Who are you to tell me? Or there's a lot of folks that have a false humility in front of you. I'm so sorry. And please don't think I'm dealing with anybody in this church. I've seen this throughout the years. I'm so sorry. They get home and they talk to their wife and they're like, how dare him come say that to me? You know, listen. One of the key things to see how you are spiritually is, can you receive correction? Can you receive correction from your mom and dad? Can you receive correction from your boss at work? But Brother Matt, he's not saved. It doesn't matter. Listen, you can win that boss if you would begin to strengthen that left hand. If you would submit to authority. I'm not talking about him telling you to do something that's unbiblical. You say, well, I'm not going to submit to him. He's a sinner. He's going to hell, or she's going to hell. Let me tell you something. God still wants us to submit to those that are over us, as long as it doesn't cause us to go a wrong direction in the Word of God. I think it's wonderful that parents teach their children to stand up for what's right. But I can tell when a parent hasn't been balanced, and they've taught them how to stand up, but they have not taught them how to submit to godly authority. Listen to me, you can get on either extreme or the other. We've got to learn a balance in this kingdom. If you have a left hand, your left hand, you can't receive correction, you need to pray through. What about that left hand that has a quick temper? Now let me remind you. On the right hand, you're bold, you're doctrinally sound, you know how to pray, you take the initiative, and you have a lot more lists that we could name, but you're quick-tempered. You get mad easy. Ooh, it's quiet in this house. Piano player, can we come? No, not yet. What about this with your left hand? You hurt people's feelings all the time, and you think it's just because you tell the truth. You think it's just because you tell the truth and people don't like the truth. Well, no, people don't like the truth. But there's a way that you can deal with things where you don't have to hurt people all the time. Amen? You can humble yourself before the Lord. Pray for wisdom, God's wisdom, to give you the right things to say, the right timing on when to say it. Sometimes we do the right thing, but we do it in the wrong timing. I'm guilty. Maybe we hurt people's feelings constantly. Now, that's one right hand and left hand. Let's talk about another person. With their right hand, they're very humble. Listen, that's an attribute of Christ, humility. Listen, you're never more like Jesus Christ of Nazareth than when you're humble, because Jesus is humble. But you're never more like the devil than whenever you manifest pride. You know what, pride has 1,000 faces, probably 10,000 faces. Pride doesn't want to say that I'm sorry. Pride doesn't want to say that I'm wrong. We think that we don't have to apologize to a brother or a sister or a neighbor. We might have been wrong, but they were wrong too, and let them apologize to me first. No, listen, they're not going to answer for what you did. You're going to answer for what you did. They're going to answer for what they did. What we've got to do is humble ourselves before God. Maybe you are that humble person that's always submitting and humbling yourself. And with that right hand, that is a powerful strength. Another thing you do with that right hand, you're a giver. You love to bless people and give to people. And you're a tither and you're a giver to missions. That's wonderful. With that right hand, you also exhibit a Christ-like spirit. With that right hand, you're a student of the Word of God. But with that left hand, let me show you some weaknesses. People gravitate towards you to talk about others. And you think it's because you're so spiritual and you have that soft, tender heart that people want to come to you and they just need some counsel. No, they recognize something in you, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe it's for nobody in this house. Maybe it's for somebody on Facebook. But they recognize something in you. They recognize that they can come talk to you. Oh, come on, church. You know it's the truth. I can tell you, spirits are attracted to one another. If somebody comes to me and begins to talk about my brother, I'm thinking, I need to go pray through. What's wrong with me that made them think that I'm going to allow them to come talk about my brother? Come on. Years ago, Brother Clendon and somebody in his church came to a new convert that had been saved several months, and it was an older man who came to talk about Brother Clendon. And this man had just gotten saved, this young convert. And all of a sudden, this older gentleman, I think he might have been a board member, he wanted to go vent a little bit. And that young convert said, "What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me?" He might have seen something in me that gave them the inclination that I would let him talk about that man of God. Oh, God, forgive me. He told that man, he said, "What is it in me that made you think that I'm going to let you talk about my pastor?" That young convert went and prayed through and said, "Oh, God, whatever it is that's inside of me, get rid of it." Listen to me. That left hand, it will manifest itself. Maybe with that left hand, you have a hard time taking a stand. Remember, the other individual with the right hand, they could stand up for truth and righteousness. But listen, with this individual, they're humble. They have a giving spirit. They exhibit the Christ-like spirit. They're a student of the Word of God. But they have a hard time taking a stand when it comes to issues that are very controversial. They don't want to stand up. They don't want to have their peers angry with them. Another area of that weakness of the left hand, I'm going to move on. You can't control your thoughts. You're always allowing that mind to wander. Let me tell you, that mind is still the battleground. If you can't control that mind, wherever that mind goes, that body's going to go. If that's a weakness of that left hand, the enemy's going to zero in on you in that area. Listen, we could name list after list. I just tried to find some positives and some negatives. And every one of us have things on this list that are positive, and every one of us have some things on this list that are negative, including this preacher right here. So what do we do? We allow the Spirit of God to work on us, to reveal to us, because the enemy knows our weaknesses. What's he going to do? Is he going to go after you in the area of your strength? No way. He's going to attack you in the area of your weakness. When I played high school football, I was a running back at Bullard High School, and whenever we would find a weak area in the line, my coach would say, "Run it right there off that right tackle. That guy, he's weak. We'll wear him out all day long." And what we do, we get 5 yards, 10 yards. And we could gain the momentum. And the enemy's the same way. He's going to attack the left area. He's going to attack that area that you know is there. Maybe you're strong in this area and in that area. And you can name them, and everybody else can name them. Maybe they can't see any areas in you that are weak and that are frail. But I can tell you, you know some areas. And I certainly know some areas in my life. What do I want to do? I don't want to just be a right-handed man. I want to be able to use this left hand too. I want to have some strength here. I want to have some mobility. I want to have some skill in this area. I want to be an ambidextrous Christian. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard, and I can overcome, not just with my right hand, but with my left also. It's a battle, my friends. Don't get Don't get destroyed on your weak side. I'm preaching to you about ambidextrous Christianity. Your talents and gifts are not just going to happen. I want to say that again. Your talents and gifts are not just going to happen. We talked about some negatives with the left hand. There are some things that are not necessarily negatives, but there's some areas of that left that you say, well, that's just not my personality. I'm not someone who speaks to other people. You know what you need to do? You need to cultivate that. What did I do when I first got saved? I'm going to tell you, I didn't like talking to people either. You know what I did? I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. And every time I did something that made me uncomfortable in the kingdom of God, listen, you know who I would go after? I'd go after the biker. I called them scooter nasties back then, but they were this big right here, man. This guy was big and had tattoos all over him. And what would I do? I would go, the Holy Ghost would deal with me to go after that guy. I'd go after him and tell him about the never dying love of Jesus, and I would love it as he would break down as the Spirit of God began to deal with him. Let me tell you something today. Listen, it wasn't comfortable doing it, but as I moved out of my comfort zone, my left hand was strengthened. You must be cultivated. My dad's a motorcycle man too, so I'm not against motorcycles. You must allow yourself to be pushed out of your comfort zone. Remember, anything less than 70% effort actually maintains the status quo. You got to attempt things that are beyond your ability. Listen, when you do this, it works in the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Can someone come to the piano this morning? Stretching yourself. Moving out of your comfort zone. You know what I say? What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. They say like 13 of the last 16 British prime ministers, you know what they say about them? They were orphans. 13 out of the last 16 British prime ministers were orphans. How did they become prime minister? They pushed through and they got stronger. Now they could have went a different direction and they could have got angry, upset with life, thought that they had been dealt a wrong deck of cards, but they didn't allow that to happen in their life. What doesn't kill you can make you stronger, or it can make you bitter. I can't help but wonder whether the other 11 tribes of Israel were just a little bit jealous of the Benjamites. I'm not sure if they debated the nature versus nurture, whether this was just a gift that they were born with or if it was something that was cultivated. Listen to me. Very few people are born with supernatural gifts. I understand that some people have the ability to do things. I wish I could sing like Brother Gus, but let me tell you something. Gus has been working here. How old were you when you got a job here, Gus? 13. How old are you now? 20 years old. Let me tell you something. He wasn't born with that awesome voice. I know for a fact because I used to hear him sing all day long out in the parking lot. But he made a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's constantly... Yeah, he did have a natural ability, but he cultivated that. I mean, since he was a little kid, mowing the grass, blowing off the parking lot, weeding the flower beds, he was singing to Jesus or for Jesus. The other Israelites probably wondered, oh, they're just gifted. I wish I had that. They probably thought the Benjamites had some kind of genetic advantage. I don't believe they did. I believe they, like the other Israelites, put their pants on one leg at a time. I heard that when I was a little kid, but when I was a little kid, I put my pants on both legs at a time. You know, I sit on the bed. Right now, as an adult, I do one leg at a time. But what am I trying to say? They were normal like everybody else. Something they worked on. Well, I just want the Lord to just speak the word. Yeah, he can. When he speaks the word, he gives you an empowerment. But you, that it's only going to be enforced by God when you make the choice. Shazam. That's what we want. Voila. It's not going to happen that way. You've got to give 10 times the effort. Cultivate it. Work hard. Let me show you something very significant about this whole ambidextrous thought. In Judges chapter 3, verse 15, it tells another story, an interesting story, about a man by the name of Ehud. Listen to this. Judges chapter 3 and verse 15. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. He was a left-handed man. Ehud was one of the most significant southpaws in all of the Word of God. What does it have to do with the ambidextrous Benjamites? I'll tell you what it has to do with them. Each of us are born into somebody else's story. And I believe that they were born into his story. Ehud's left-handed victory became the Benjamites' signature story. Buried deep within their collective consciousness, this left-handed victory, was a rallying cry for the Benjamite people. Remember the Alamo? Amen? You won't believe this. I was walking around, and they're on spring break this week, but I was walking around with Brother Nathan right there in Central America, and this man says, Nathan's big, tall. He said, "Oh, General." He said, "Remember the Alamo." It was a rallying cry for the Benjamites. Cultivating weak hand skills was their unique way of honoring Ehud. He was left-handed. He wrought this great victory, and they began to cultivate this. They understood the unique ability of being ambidextrous, the effectiveness, the advantage of being ambidextrous. Listen, we're not in competition with one another. If you begin to compete with your brother or sister in the kingdom of God, that's demonic, that's the flesh. Listen, it's not about who's the best in a certain area. What we do it unto the Lord. I want to be effective in the kingdom of God. I want to win souls. I want to do a work. I want to be the best that I can be for God to honor Him. And this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to cultivate that left hand in warfare. And they, the Benjamites, honoring Ehud, this great warrior, they cultivated the left hand like the right. Hours upon hours upon hours of training. Ambidexterity was a tip of the cap. It was a tip of the cap to the judge who delivered Israel with his left hand, with the area of weakness. Listen to me today. This is the most important part. Most of us tend to ignore our non-dominant hands, that area in our life that's weak. We tend to ignore that. Why bother when using our strong hand is much easier, much better? We let our weak hands get weaker. But how you handle your weak hand affects more than your present task. It affects the next generation. Ehud didn't just deliver the Israelites from the Moabites. He inspired generation of Benjamites. Do you hear me today? If you'll begin to strengthen that left hand, if you will begin to become an ambidextrous Christian, you will affect the next generation that comes before you. But I'm going to say on the other side, if you don't get the victory, you're going to affect the next generation in a negative way. Listen to me. Can we stand?